to share with you some timely thoughts this morning that you might be familiar with. I just don't have enough time for. You ever said that before, right? Time seems to go by so fast. Or time flies, right? I can't believe it's time. The pregnant wife says, what? It's time. Let's go. Get out of here. Get the bag. Man, we had a good time at the Awana Carnival on Thursday night. We really did. It was incredible. A great, great night. Angelica and team did a great job. And I meant to wear it today. I do have a Timex watch. It didn't dawn on me all these years. Timex. Some of you are going, you're really slow, Scott. Timex. Didn't dawn on me until I typed it out this week. That's what it stands for. Oh, you guys are way ahead of me, right? It takes a licking and it keeps on ticking. Wow. Leisha's brother, late brother, Kip, artist, musical artist, 7 or 8 albums to his credit. We'll sing one of his songs coming up. He wrote these words, "Time, time, you say it's time, that is your enemy. It presses you so you can't control your own destiny." Don't we all know that about time? It does press us. And I know sometimes you as well as I, we feel bound by time. We don't feel like it kind of does this to us. It kind of presses in on us and it binds us up. Well, today in our time together, I've had a lot of fun with this sermon. What does that stand for? Kind of maybe from time in a bottle. I didn't put the bottle up there that normally it would be in, right? Jim Croce song many years ago. A life is in the midst of a bottle, and the hourglass represents time in our life. So we're going to look at chapter 3 of 2 Peter, so you can grab it there and be a part of what God wants to do today. My Bible's opening right to it now. It's getting fun. I like when that happens. So I gave you these from last week, chapter 3. Titles, Confidence in the Christian Life, Christ's Second Coming, and Imperative to Spiritual Conquest, The Day of the Lord Will Surely Come. That's what some of the authors have put together for us and thinking through this chapter for us before us, that's before us today. And I'm going to use the same remember theme that I used last week in my 3 points that I had for you, and I'm sure that you remember them, right? Now, a lot of time has gone by since then, I understand. Hard for me to remember, too. But they were this. Remember, the truths of God have been revealed. So we looked at verses 1 through 7. The truths of God have been revealed. Amen? They're right here for us. But in our day and age, and even in Peter's day, the truths of God will be opposed. And we see it all around us. And Peter saw it in his day as God was guiding him, as the Holy Spirit was guiding him to put together what he has for us here. We recognize that the truths of God will be opposed. But lastly, we said this, remember this, that the God of truth will make things right someday in his timing. We sometimes get just a little bit wigged out, right? We get a little bit concerned. We see the news. We see the things all around us. And we go, God, we don't get it. It doesn't make sense. What's taking place? It just seems so out of control. And God reveals to us this passage. He tells us, listen, it's all in my timing. Hang in there. It's in my timing. So for verses 8 through 13, some of the commentators had these titles for this little passage. Peter argues about the coming of Christ from Scripture, from the character of God, and from the promise of Christ. Thought that person put it pretty well. I could have used that outline, but chose not to. Another author said, be diligent. This passage is about be diligent. Another author says, this is Peter's assurance to us. And lastly, that kind of fits best with the sermon for today, the Lord's patience determines the timing of his coming. The Lord's patience determines the timing of his coming. So let's look at this and let's read it, God's holy word that's before us. I'm going to start in verse 1 of chapter 3 so that we get the whole context of from last week and from this week. Excuse me just a moment. Peter says, "Now this is the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder." Wonder where I got that thought. "That you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing." Imagine that. "Following their own sinful desires. They will say, 'Where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation.'" Now, Peter. "For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Father, again, it's your word. It's important. It's valuable. It tells us how to live, how to go forward, how to honor you, to lift you high as the holy God. Now just be with us as we study. We look at your word in Jesus' name. You'll remember that God in creation set up time. There was a day and a night in the 6 days that were given to us. He set up the fact that the sun rotates around the... just making sure you knew this fact, because I got to start to get it wrong. The earth rotates around the sun, right? They had that messed up many years ago, but they got it right later, right? There isn't a flat earth, just so you know that too, okay? The earth rotates around the sun every 24 hours, right? And we live within that time that God created for us and being a part of that. But I remind you this, but he himself is not bound by that time. Get it? He himself is not bound by that time, but he works within that time that he created. Does that make sense? He's not bound by the time that he created, but he works within the time that he created. And we're a part of that. This tells us this, that God himself, the first attribute, that God himself is eternal. Timeless in the sense that he had no beginning and no end. He's not growing older like you are. If you could see him today, and then you could see him 5 years from now, you could accurately say, "You look the same as I saw you last time." Right? Because he's not growing old like we are. You would say, "You haven't aged a bit." And most of the time when we say that, we're lying to somebody, right? Peter, in presenting this God and time fact, he's challenging the scoffers who are doubting Jesus' coming and keeping his promise about his coming back, as it says in verse 4. They're questioning that. They're scoffing about that. Where is the promise of his coming? We haven't seen him. It's been this way for years. It keeps going on and on, and he doesn't come back. Ha ha, what's going on here? They're having their fun trying to say of God, you're not keeping your promise. You said you were coming. And Peter says of him, he's eternal. He's not bound by the time he created, but he works within that time. And Peter goes back and he says he was involved in the creation. He stepped into the world to make the world. He was involved in the flood. He did it in his timing, when the time was appropriate, when it was the time for that to happen. They had overlooked that. They'd just gone right past that. And Peter's saying, go back and look. God has been involved in the world. He created it, and he stepped in the flood in a time of judgment. Now, maybe God's a little bit like the story about the preacher and the clock at the back of the worship center. You might have heard this story. What does the clock mean to a preacher and to God? Nothing. Maybe God's a little bit like that, right? But I'll tell you this. He's always concerned about what's happening within our time. He's not bound by our time, but he's always concerned about what's happening within our time. And remember this. He's always got time for you. He's always got time for you. He doesn't wear a watch. He doesn't need a phone to carry with him to tell time. So feel free to barge in on him at any time. Feel free to come into his presence. As it talks about in Hebrews chapter 4. And let us approach the throne of grace with boldness and with confidence, so that we might find grace and mercy to help us in the time of need. He's always got time for you. And if he's got time for you, guess what? He's got time for me too. At any time. Because he's not bound by the time that we know, but he always has time for us. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 31, verse 14 and 15. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My time is in your hands. Chuck Gerard put that into musical melody many, many years ago. Our times are in your hands. And it's a trusted place to be. For whatever your issue is right now, whatever your need is right now, he's got time for you. That's why these are important. These are your heart's cry. And you're saying to him, Lord, you have time for me. And we say when we come to pray, we have time for these who have said they're putting their trust in you. And we want to pray for them because they're crying out to you and saying, my time, my things are in your hand. Take one, fill it out. We want to pray for you to help you know that he's got time. Remember, the Lord works on his time, not our time. Secondly, look to this passage using that remember theme. As we look at verse 9, the Lord wants all to come to repentance and not to perish. Because the Lord's timing is different than ours, Peter reminds us that he is not slow to fulfill his promise. As he writes, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you. The scoffers were saying, he said he would come back and he hasn't come back. So what's taken him so long to fulfill his promise? They were impatient regarding his coming. Again, Lord's not bound by time, but he works within our time. We say things like, I'll be there in a minute. And that's usually about 20 minutes, right? We say things like, it will only take a minute. What's taking you so long? It seems like we haven't seen each other in forever. You see, we live according to what we know as earthly time. We don't quite understand His timing because it's His timing. This verse points to a second attribute of God. The first attribute is what we talked about, that He is eternal. That's the first attribute. The second attribute is this, that He is patient. And I'm sure you would agree with that as you think about your life and your walk and your relationship with God. How patient He has been and He will be with you. One of the authors said this about this passage. He said, it's not that God is slow in fulfilling His promise, but rather that He is patient in regard to fulfilling His promise. That He put it so well. He's adding a little bit to what Peter said. It's not that God is slow in fulfilling His promise. It's that He's patient in fulfilling His promise. David talks about that in a beautiful chapter of Psalm 103. As you know that chapter, many bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. We've sang that. I think we sang that song even last week from that passage in Psalm 103. But he says this, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our iniquities, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Sins and iniquities. Just got them backwards there. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward us and those that fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. You think about that and you put it in perspective, my goodness, is He ever patient with us? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But His patience, as He thinks about this salvation theme, is that all should reach repentance and not doom themselves to an eternal perishing without Him. Lord is patient in regard to His coming back, so more individuals have a chance to say yes to Him. Think about that. His patience allowed you to say yes to Him. His patience in not coming back has allowed you to be able to say, yes, I believe, God, I want You to be a part of my life. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want Your eternal life to be a part of my life. Paul talks about His patience, this repentance, when he speaks in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Why don't you read it with me? Or do you presume on the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? His kindness, His patience toward us is so that we might repent. We might say, God, I turn from my sin and I turn towards You. You will help me if I just make this decision that I want to be forgiven of my sin. I don't want to go that way anymore, but I want to follow You, the forgiver, the God who forgives me. I want You to be a part of my life and to help me. Repentance, this change of mind. I don't want to go my way. I want to go Your way. I don't want to think about these things. I want to think about Your things. I want everything to be about You. Can you sing something about that today? All about You. That's what He wants for us. I would say this. The Lord doesn't send people to an eternal judgment in hell. People choose that by deciding not to make Him their Savior. Our choice is, will we follow the Savior? Will we follow our way? And we make that choice toward Him. And I might put it in this way. If you didn't want to be with Jesus on earth, why would you want to be with Jesus in heaven? Just honestly. If you don't want to be with Him here, why in the world would you want to spend time with Him in heaven? Of course, see, most people don't think about A lot of people don't always think about Jesus in heaven. They're just thinking about the good thing, the good side. It's way better than the other side. But the fact is, it's all about Jesus when we get to heaven. That's what's important. And I know that you want to be with Jesus someday. But I would ask, have you repented of your sin? Have you asked him to forgive your sin? And say, I want your life, Father. I want to be a part of your world and your eternal life for me. If you haven't, May 15th, 2024 is a great day to do that. To say yes to Jesus. I'm turning from my sinful way, because we're all sinners. We know that. And we need a Savior who can make possible eternal life someday. And he wants to be your Savior. There's an old hymn that says, the Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? What would keep you from doing that? What would keep you from saying, Lord, I recognize who I am. And I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn from that. I'm going to place my faith in you, because I need the way. You're the mediator to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. Put it as simple as the ABCs again. Admit to God you're a sinner. Believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross and rose again on the third day. And confess your faith in him. Commit your life to him. Say yes to him. That's how you have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ. It's by grace that you're saved. Not by grace, through faith. Not of your own works, lest any man would boast. We certainly would. We can't boast, because it was his work that brought us into the kingdom. Remember, my friends, that he wants all to come to repentance, and he wants none to be able to perish and spend eternity away from him. Third, in verse 10, remember, the Lord will come at an unexpected time, not when expected. The Lord's coming at an unexpected time, not when expected. In verse 10, Peter likens Jesus coming to a thief. And we could put in parentheses, as I did in my outline, a thief in the night, because it's unexpected and it's surprising. And unfortunately, some of you have experienced that. Your home or your car, your business has been broken into by a thief in the night. You certainly didn't go to bed thinking that would happen. Oh Lord, tonight somebody's going to break into my car. And it's amazing to me that we never hear that. That we sleep so good, it seems like, on those nights. But some of you have experienced that really difficult experience of the surprise of somebody being a thief in your life. Well, Paul uses that same illustration as Peter when he writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, you yourself are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you're not in darkness, brothers, for the day to surprise you like a thief. Saying, be ready, be alert. Don't let this day surprise you. It's going to come unexpectedly, but when it comes, don't let it surprise you. And you go, oh man, I can't believe it happened. No, at that point you're going to go, yes, it happened, because what? He said it's coming. Said it's going to come back, and here it is today. In a good way versus kind of the difficult way of thinking the thief in the night, think of it in a good way. We might liken Jesus coming to a military individual who surprises his or her family by showing up totally unexpected at a home or a game or school. Or even, as I saw yesterday in the news, a mom who came home, she was in deployment, and she got to come home for her son's graduation from college. She was in Kosovo. And they said, we have as he got his diploma, he walked across the stage, got his diploma, and then they made this man. And we have a special friend here today who's from Kosovo, and the boy goes like this, because he knew who that was. And there's his mom, was able to get away. They allowed her to come back. What a surprise. What a blessed surprise. What an encouraging surprise for that young man. And we think about that way, and he used the thief in the night just to be able to help us understand surprise. But think about it in this great way, this wonderful surprise for us, the joy of his coming back for us. Now, to be able to put that in perspective, think about the first coming of Jesus. Think about the first coming of Jesus. There were prophecies and there were signs that he was coming, but his coming was an unexpected surprise in its timing. Mary had no idea this was going to happen to her. Joseph had no idea this was going to happen to her. They knew the promises, but they didn't know it was going to happen to them. We didn't expect him to come as a babe in a cradle, in a manger, in a barn, in a stable, in a cave. That was a surprise. Oh, his coming wasn't, but how he did and how he came was a surprise. And the timing of it was a surprise. Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. When the fullness of time came, when it was time, in his timing, they had been waiting for years for Jesus to come, the Messiah to come. But in God's timing, he brought about Jesus Christ through Mary. It was the right time when they had been waiting a long time. Remember in our study of many years ago, we went through the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, there were times when Jesus said, "It's not my time. It's not my time." They wanted to reveal himself, show more of himself. And he recognized it wasn't time. But then as he got near to when it was time, he said, "It's time. Let's go, Jerusalem." And what he meant is, time now for me to go to the cross and rise again on the third day. And we call that FST, the Father's saving time. Not Mountain Standard Time. Not Daylight Savings Time. The Father's saving time came. It was time for him to go and to do his work as the Savior. All this was preparation. There were prophecies. All the things. Now it is time. And when Jesus comes back again, Father's going to say to him, "Son, go put on your coming back clothes. Because it's time for you to go back down to the earth." Now, you're not going as a Savior. You're still the Savior. You're not going as a Savior. You're coming now as the Deliverer, as the Judge for my people and for the world itself. His coming back will be a surprise and unexpected. And as he comes, for those that have made their choice to follow him, it'll be a day of untold joy. It'll be a time of untold joy for us. It should bring a smile to your face. But for those that don't know him, it will be an unfortunate time of judgment as he speaks in this passage. The day of the Lord, this sense of when he comes back together in the earth, he brings judgment to the people of the earth that haven't found him and chose not to follow him. My friend, let him be your Savior, not your judge. Let him be your Savior, not your judge. So you can sing "Holy Forever," we sang earlier. So you'll be there with every tribe and nation, people, language. And you'll be singing the praises to him and giving honor to him and singing "Holy, Holy, Holy Forever." Fourth thought, verse 11. Remember God's people. And now he says, he gives all that information. And then he says, okay, in verse 10, or in verse 11. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, these things are going to happen, you're going to come back, there's going to be this judgment time. Since all these things are going to happen, how should you live? Well, we should live godly lives, as he says of us, in the lives of holiness and godliness. This is kind of the crux of when he brings it all together. This is how we should live, being that he's going to come back someday. He's going to reward those who are righteous. He's going to judge those who are unrighteous. So how should we live? We should live so that we're on the righteous side and bring honor to him. That we would emulate Jesus. That we would live a life of comparison to him. That's how we know if we're living a godly life. We just look at Jesus. Am I following what Jesus would do in these situations? Peter says we shouldn't wallow in the mud. We shouldn't go back as a dog goes to his vomit in Daniel chapter 2. Don't go back to that. That's not who you are. You're this pure individual. You're this godly individual. So if you are, then that's how we should walk. So let us only live and let us attain to that which we have. Let us live in accordance to that which we've attained. Philippians chapter 3, 16. Live that way. You're holy, you're godly, so live that way. That's how we should live. In chapter 1, you might remember, use that word a few times today. You might remember, he says this. He says, Peter challenges us to live holy lives when he writes, by which he's granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. You've escaped that. That's not a part of your life. So live in accordance with who you are, a godly, holy life. And he says one of the ways we could see that is, he says, add these things to your faith, right? He goes, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, love. If these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or in the positive way, they keep you from being effective in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's who you'll be. Live that way. Peter makes that same call to holiness back in 1 Peter. A very powerful, powerful call to holiness, as he writes in 1 Peter. As obedient children, do not conform. Be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so also you shall be holy in your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy. For I am holy. A quote from the Mosaic Law. God is speaking to them in the book of Leviticus. This is who I am. We've talked about he's eternal. We've talked about that he's patient. Here now we talk about him being holy. And we sang, Todd did such a good job of putting our songs together this morning to tie these thoughts together for us. Just as I am holy, you be holy. Look at Jesus. Look at how he lived among us and cared for us. Emulate your life. Compare your life to him. Again, I've had a lot of fun with this sermon, thinking about time and remembrance. And I go back to an old Wayne Watson song many years ago. He's a great songwriter. But he says this, one day Jesus will call my name. And he will. One day Jesus will call my name. As days go by, I hope I don't stay the same while I'm here. I want to get so close to him that it's no big change. On that day, Jesus calls my name. I want to get so close to him now, in this time, so that when he comes, in his time, there's no big change. He didn't have to do a lot of work on me. He's not doing a lot of work on you. He's going to do it, and he'll just do it in the instant. We know that. But in our time, and being able to think about it, I want to live such a holy life that when he comes, there'll be no big change. And I know that's what you'd like for your life, too. You see, God's people should live holy lives, not worldly lives. So that thought, got anything you need to start doing? To live a more holy life? Got anything you maybe need to stop doing to live a more holy life? It will help you to be more like Jesus, to be more like God the Father, who is holy. And he says, I want you to be holy too, pure. Live as best you can to my standards, because they're good for you. They'll be beneficial to you. There's blessing in living as I have guided you and I've instructed you. Verses 12 through 13. Remember, God's people should be waiting for his coming, not setting a date. Remember, God's people should be waiting for his coming, not setting a date. It's a promise. Jesus is coming. Again, back, whatever word you want to put in there, he is coming back. It's a promise. And Jesus always fulfills his promises, even if it takes more time than we think it should. We understand that, right? We understand that. He's not slow concerning his promise. He's just patient about it. And sometimes we as impatient people want, God, get it done now. And God says, it's not in my timing. Your timing says, yeah, okay, da-da-da-da. My timing says, we've got more time for this. Sometimes maybe he even makes his time happen quicker than we want to. I didn't expect that. Oh my goodness. Whew. Now I don't know what to do. We wait, but we don't set a date. That's a nice rhyme, wasn't it? We wait, but we don't set a date. Jesus wasn't setting dates either. So why should we? What did he say? Matthew chapter 24. But concerning the day and hour, no one knows. Even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Jesus is waiting. He doesn't know. The Father will tell him it's time to go. In the fullness of time, like he came before, in the fullness of time, when it's time, he'll come. And the Father will let us know that. Will there be some signs? Yes, there are some signs. Are there some prophecies? Yes. But we wait patiently, and we don't set a date. When he comes, there will be a time of judgment. In the present heavens and earth, as it says here, we set on fire and dissolved. And then God will recreate the heavens and earth so there will be a place in which righteousness will dwell. What we know now, the old heavens and earth, will be dissolved. And what we don't know, the new heavens and earth, will be ushered in. And that's going to be really good. That's going to be really good. See, we just can't picture that in our minds because we only know what we have here. We say, it's good here. And we go, and the Lord's going, no, Mom, you just don't understand. It's way better someday. It'll be way better someday because righteousness will rule. And sin will be no more. Any of you remember Barry Maguire? Yeah, a few of you remember Barry Maguire. He did Bullfrogs and Butterflies. Yeah, see, I bring up these things, and you guys, you weren't listening to the same thing I was listening to, see? Barry Maguire had a really good song. It went like this. Jesus is coming back to stay. Could be any time of day. Jesus is coming back, I know. The Holy Spirit told me so. So praise the Lord. We're going to shout hallelujah, amen, amen. So praise the Lord. Jesus is coming again, amen. Now, I might change that a little bit. I might say, mate, Jesus come back today. Could be in time today. Jesus is coming back, I know. The Word of God told me so. The Holy Spirit did, but the Word of God tells me He is coming back, amen. It's right here. Other places too. He's coming back. And Jesus said, I'm coming back. So we need to praise the Lord and shout hallelujah, amen, right? God's people should be waiting, but not setting a date. We wait, but we don't set a date. So to wrap it up, how are you investing your limited time here on earth? We all know it's limited. God's eternal. But our time is just this little dash between our birth and our death, right? You've read the illustration. So dash, how are we fulfilling what God wants us to do in that dash? Well, like I said, I had a little bit of fun at this. Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? Some of you are going, that was Chicago. And they got the horns going, yeah, okay, I got you on that one. You knew that one, right? Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? You can hear the sax and the trumpets blowing there. I guarantee you the Lord knows exactly what time it is in His eternal calendar. And He wants to know, and He wants us to know what time it is and to care about it. Let me take you back to Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 24, which tie together our thoughts from 2 Peter 3. Here's what Jesus said. Therefore, stay awake. You're doing pretty good right now. You're here. You're there. Okay. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known on what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and he would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Let me put it in six words. Be ready, be holy, be serving. That's what he says of us. Be ready, be holy, and be serving. Step up, step out, our theme for this year, as we think about that. I'm going to give you some push. We have two things coming up that are really important. Ed, you did a beautiful job of helping us to remember about why we do Be the Church, why we do Vacation Bible School. We do it because it's kingdom work and we want to reach people for Jesus Christ. And we need your help. For Be the Church. Not everybody can go out and take down buildings and take down fences. We understand that. That's why you have projects here. But some of you can do that. And I know we don't meet next week, and that's not a really good excuse for not being in church. So we're giving you a chance to be the church. We need you. And I need to know you're coming, because I don't know if we can do the projects if I don't know I have the people to come. We have the people to come. So could you let me know you're coming? Take the card. Go to the Connection Hub. But I got to know you're here so we can tell these people we're coming. Because they're looking forward to us coming and helping them. In that, we're being the servant to them. We're offering a cup of cold water by taking out screws or by picking up weeds or helping them put a gate latches together. It's a great way to be able to do God's work. I need a hot dog griller, somebody who would be here to be able to take care of that. We need screw gunners. We need weed choppers. We need dumpster fillers. We need you. And I'd ask, if you're here and you're able, would you come and help us out? And serve, be a part of what God wants to do. And the joy of working together, you'll get to know some new people. Shoulder to shoulder develops relationships. It's so important. And in Vacation Bible School, we need 8-10 more people to come, be a part of our team. I appreciate so much those that have signed up and are here. It's a long week. I understand that. It's a long week for us too. And if you could help us, we really need your help. You could help out with snacks, buying some things for snacks or crafts, the sign-ups out there. But these are ways I think you can fulfill what we just studied in 2 Peter chapter 3. Be ready, be holy, and be serving. So there's no big change. You know, we get to heaven, we'll be serving. It's a part of what we're going to do there. We'll be worshiping and singing and praising God. But they'll be serving things that will take place. How that all works, I don't know. But I really do believe that's going to happen. I'm not going to sit around and play harps. Nobody wants to do that. None of you play the harp anyway. It wouldn't work anyway, right? But these are ways that when he comes, I mean, what would be a better thing that Jesus would come and you'd be in VBS telling a kid about Jesus Christ? Well, that'd work. Lord, you can't come now. I've got to tell them about the gospel. I'm fixing a fence, Lord. Chopping down some weeds. Showing them Jesus. Just give me a couple minutes, okay? It'd be a beautiful thing. Come and help us. But we've got to know. Please, let me know you're coming. So we can plan what we need to do. Kids will have a car wash. Students will have a car wash. Probably going to have... Elisha might need a little bit of help with that. Well, he always has some help from the parents, but he might need a little bit of help with that too, putting together that. So, I want to be ready. I want to be holy. And I want to be serving for when he comes. So there's no big change. So someday we can sing, Holy Forever. Todd, can you lead us in that? I bet you know that song, don't you? That's a beautiful song, Chris Tomlin song. I've been wanting to introduce it, and Todd pulled it out and did such a good job. Thank you for tying together things so well for us. Father in heaven, we look forward to your coming. Even so, Lord, come quickly. You're coming back. Today would be a great day. Father, you're patient about it. Help us to be patient about it too. Thank you for being so concerned about us that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, so that we could believe when he's lifted up on the cross and draw him into himself. Thank you. We didn't deserve that, but you did it for us. So thank you. We believe, and we want to sing forever holy through the ages that would come.